White Rocket Entertainment.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment and by our good friends, our supporters, our AU Wishbone family at patreon.com. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, we are doing this off the cuff, live, with the credits music playing in the background even as we speak. I don't know how that's going to come out. We tried it several years ago and it didn't work out too well, but we're trying to expedite things and move things right along. By the way, that was my awesome Formula One theme music opening. I don't really get to say that much on the show because usually I don't decide what background music I'm going to play going into a show until in post-production, but you actually got to hear the theme music. Do you like that one, or should I get rid of that one?
I like that a lot.
That's kind of been my off-season one. You know, like we have the other ones for, like, ready for some football during the season, but I figure in the off-season I'll play the kind of peppy one, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay, cool. Well, today we're going to just talk about a couple of things, and I haven't even opened the usual outline that you put together every week for us, because I've just been out at, I took Mira to see Ready Player One for the third time. So we've been having a ball, and we just got back from the theater a few minutes ago, and I had to do the dishes real fast. It's never, all the excitement never ends around here in my house. So I just came running down here to the studio to get started, and I figured I would just kick this show in. So you were off doing something this past weekend.
I was.
Okay. And I was off doing something this past weekend. So, in fact, I was in Chicago until yesterday at the Windy City Pulp Con, where I did not win anything this year, which is disappointing.
You were robbed.
Well, I didn't expect to win. There was a lot of stiff competition this year, and I was really excited for Wayne Reinigle, a good friend of mine from this area, who got Best Novel for his 820-page monster pulp novel, Sanctuary Falls. So I'm really proud for Wayne. I'm very excited. If I had to lose to anybody, I'm glad I lost to a giant monster book that was about 16 times longer than my book that I put out this year, Vegas Heist. So anyway, A-Day was on Saturday, and I have still not gotten to see it, but that's not going to stop me from having opinions about it, because this is America. This is America, where we have opinions about things we know nothing about, by golly. If I had the soundboard up right now, I'd play the national anthem, but I don't. So, or at least the Soviet national anthem. So, but you have seen it?
Again, I was out of contact this weekend as well, because I drove to Georgia this weekend and went to the Masters on Saturday with my oldest daughter. We had a great time.
Awesome.
And it was our first time ever there, and we really loved it. And so I, of course, did not watch A Day Live. I spent Sunday driving back, so I did watch the expedited version, you know.
I was so hoping that neither one of us had seen it. I was like, oh, this will be the only Auburn podcast where nobody actually saw the A-Day game, but you have seen part of it. So I've read about it, and I watched the first – I actually did have a chance to watch some of it. I watched the first 10 minutes, and I fell asleep, essentially. I was sitting there at my table at Windy City, and I had my iPad, and I tapped into the Wi-Fi, and I got the A-Day broadcast on SEC Network up. And it was the 7-on-7 with Stidham just standing there and occasionally throwing the ball. And I just went, I thought anything would be more exciting than this. So I turned it off. So I've been told that they actually did eventually do more than just 7-on-7. And by the way, let me open my drink here. There we go. Get my tonight we're having La Croix orange sparkling water, continuing my diet. So what did you get to see? You saw the highlights? Were there highlights?
There were highlights, and I saw more than highlights, but I've watched the highlights too. I guess the big question up front is, should there be angst about A-Day and how Auburn performed in A-Day?
You mean ever, right?
Ever and particularly, and more than ever in general, but also in particular with this team and the current state of Auburn football. Should fans be concerned about how the team looked on Saturday?
Okay, I'm of two minds about this. I know exactly what you're asking. Here are my thoughts, and then you can respond to this if you would be so kind. My thoughts about it is simply this. Normally, no, because Gus, if anything, likes to play his cards close to his vest. He doesn't like to give away any information, whether it be injuries or formations or plays or how everybody's doing, right? I mean, you know, if he had his way, there would be zero media coverage except for 3.5 hours on every Saturday 12 times a year plus the bowl game, you know. So normally we should not care because it would have no reflection on reality. However, this year I feel like there's enough turnover and even more than that, enough injury going on. You know, this has been, you know, we have years where nobody gets hurt and we have years where you kind of wish they wouldn't leave their dorm room. You know what I mean? And
yes.
This has been the latter. Okay. And so, you know, people talk about, well, Terry Bowden was down to his fifth center. And I'm like, well, yeah, but that was by the Florida game. We're going to be down to our fifth center and the season hadn't even started yet. You know, so, but between all the injuries making you kind of nervous, and they had more during the game. And between that and the turnover and playing a lot of new players, particularly on the offensive line, and it people want to know what the situation is. And mainly, we just want to be reassured. I feel like what the average Auburn person wants is for A-Day to have been a spectacular success and the lesson learned from it to be you can relax. And unfortunately, that was not what I took from what I heard about it.
I think that's a good way to answer it. I think when you say Gus plays his cards close to his vest, Gus plays his cards inside his vest.
Yes, he does.
Like, he doesn't just hold his hand up there. He literally tucks them inside and looks at them that way.
He's those guys on ESPN playing poker. They got the sunglasses, the hat, you know, the heavy coat. they don't want you to know they're even there.
And so the other part is, like, even if – there were no injuries, and everybody on the offense was healthy, and they played the A team offense against the defense. They still wouldn't run a lot of the good stuff they're going to run during the games in the fall because Gus knows the other team's coaches actually watch A-Day to look at stuff. So, I think there's a. It's sad to say this, but I think we have to accept that, you know, what we used to get out of A-Day 15 years ago, whatever, we're not going to get out of A-Day anymore because of the level of paranoia in college football coaching that they're not going to show this stuff to make us reassured. And so I think the reassurance you need to take away from this A-Day performance is that our defense is going to be pretty freaking good again.
Yeah, Can we say, because I mean, we've got really good offensive players. This isn't like, you know, this isn't like 2008 or 1998 where we had, you know, third level SEC talent on offense. I mean, we've got some darn good 4-star, 5-star players on offense. So it's not like our offense is just anemic. I think, I'm just going to put this out here. You tell me what you think. I think that, you know, I've always said, and we talk about this in my history classes, because I always compare war and football in that both are cyclical, depending on technology. Like, you know, in war, you'll have a war where the offenses are ahead, like World War II. And you'll have a war where defenses are ahead, like World War I. And football is the same way, right? You'll have years where the defenses are ahead and the games are 6-3 and 3-2. And you'll have years where offenses are ahead and the games are like 42-41. So, you know, with Spurrier emerging in the 90s and then with the spread and with all that. So I think that college football right now is at the early stages of a new defensive cycle where you have these big, super fast defensive linemen. You have really good defensive backs, really good linebackers. You have really good schemes. And I feel like offenses have fallen a step behind. And that could change this year. That could change next year. But for right now, I feel like defenses, with a certain exceptions, defenses are slightly ahead right now. Is that, does that sound right to you?
No, I don't. I mean, I think about the end of last year and the games, not just Auburn games, but games in general, the playoff game, like between Georgia and Oklahoma. Georgia has as much defense talent as anybody, and that game was like 50-48 or whatever.
Well, so, there are teams that have so much spectacular talent on offense and such schemes that they can do that, but they're few and far between. How many teams are going to do that to Georgia's defense, though?
Not that many, but I think some other conferences are more all offense and no defense. And but no, I mean, it's a good, I like the idea, because I do think defense, I mean, I think we've passed the point, the tipping point of the offense is, you know, in complete domination. We're moving, but we are moving back down the scale towards defense is regaining something. I think two or 3 years ago, we were at the point where it was, you know, it was no stopping anybody most of the time. So
absolutely right. Absolutely right. Yeah.
But so I think, but if I told you that Auburn's first, we were playing a game tomorrow, a non-conference game, and we were playing a team that, you know, was playing their second team quarterback or third team quarterback and their second or third team running back and their fullback wasn't playing and two of their receivers weren't playing and their, you know, their third string center was starting and a couple of other offensive linemen were out, you'd say, like, our defense should beat the crap out of that team. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened in this game.
Yeah.
And especially if I said that they have a quarterback who's good at running the ball, but we're not going to, the rules aren't going to let him run the ball that day. I mean, that's the biggest thing about A-Day is everybody's like, oh, Gatewood and Willis, you know, look rough. It's, this is bad. We have no quarterbacks for the future. But the reality is they're running quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And when they can do what they're supposed to do, and we do, you know, what, read option with them and the running backs and really put the defense on its heels, then throwing the ball is so much easier. And when, you know, especially, you know, what Gatewood's thing is more the, you know, the Cam Newton quarterback power play even. And you can't run that in A-Day.
No.
So I think
you know that Cam Newton had one of the worst A-Days an Auburn quarterback has ever had. He was terrible.
I know he did. He didn't do anything, and they purposely didn't show him doing anything, I think. But it's also like the way we play A-Day is we don't let the quarterbacks run, and we don't let the defense tackle them to the ground. And exactly. So that's taking the stuff that Willis and Gatewood does well and throwing it out of the game.
Exactly.
So it makes them much easier to defend. So I get – I mean, I understand people are unhappy, but, I mean, I think – I'm not worried about the offense because Stidham is coming back.
Yeah.
And then we have a good group of receivers. The offensive line is a little bit of a concern, but I'm not panicking about it. And I think we have a big group of running backs that we'll find somebody out there who will be okay. Now, will they be as good as Kerryon was or Pettway was the year before that? I don't know.
Maybe not this year, maybe in the future, but this year seems like a transition year at running back to me.
But the other part is, I think we. But the other side of the running back thing is, I think we could have the best passing game that we've had, mm-hmm. you know, in years. I mean, since 2014, I think we had a pretty good passing game.
Sure.
You know, it could be that or better. So, I think it takes a lot of pressure off the running game when you can throw it like we're going to be able to throw it.
But we've got to get those receivers back healthy. I mean, we've lost Hastings and we lost Stove. Not to mention having Brodarius Ham, the offensive lineman, go down in A-Day too. So it's just one blow after another right now. It's just tough.
It is, but I mean, we still got Ryan Davis, Nate Craig Myers, Slayton. You know, we got Chandler Cox. Other running backs. I mean, I think, you know, we could find somebody who can do what Stove did, I think, from among the young receivers. So
Apparently, it's Barrett.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He's moved to receiver. We didn't even talk. I mean, he's moved from running back to receiver, and I think he could be that guy. I mean, I think that makes perfect sense to me.
I think he's moved to receiver in the sense that he's going to start out in the slot and then sweep across rather than starting in the backfield. But he's probably still going to be doing similar things to what he did last year. Although,
yeah, but I think he's not going to carry the ball between the tackles, which he didn't do before. So.
Right. I was going to say, similar to the things he did last year would mean catching the ball in the flat, because that's literally all he did last year was one play. And after about the halfway point of the season, everybody figured out that's what he was going to do. They would just go out there and wait for him and tackle him. So that may be oversimplification, but that's what it seemed like.
Let's hope they're up to two plays this year.
Yeah, man, by the time he graduates, look out. So what do you think about the running backs then? From what I was seeing, it sounded like the big player was Tolbert, but I don't even know much about him. Was that just that he got a lot of carries as the walk-on or whatever, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was like the designated runner, honestly. Mm. And he's fine. He's a good all-purpose kind of guy, but he's a really good invited walk-on. He's not somebody that we're going to start at an SEC game. He's not. So, but Cam Martin was held out. And the other team, Jartavius Whitlow, Booby Whitlow, was the main running back, and he looked pretty good. He had one run play where he kind of did the side-to-side thing and, you know, ran away from the whole defense for a while and got a yard or whatever. But, I mean, I think he's – you know, as much more of a chance to play than Tolbert does. So,
yeah, it really is kind of a, I don't know what the word you'd use to describe our running back. It's kind of a committee. It's kind of a committee of the whole. I don't know what it
is. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a mix and match thing. I think, you know, the problem is, like, we run into this a lot of years, is we don't have a game to figure it out. We have to come out and play a top 15 team the first game. So, I mean, I think it's going to be Cam Martin, like Asa Martin, and Whitlow. I think are going to be, like, the three guys who were rotating and trying to figure out. But the biggest thing is, like, Whitlow and Cam Martin both are not big enough to pass protect consistently. And I think they don't – I mean, they know if Stidham gets killed, then we have real problems. So I think they're going to be, you know, very cautious with that.
So a lot of committee, a lot of substitution. I mean, our running back by committee, you could almost call it a council, and they've got to get better ball security. So what we really need back there is a security council, I guess you could say. Are you vetoing – the security council?
I'm exercising my veto on the use of that term. I think in the long run, Asa Martin is, you know, we should get a lot of carries, but we've seen them be reluctant to play freshmen. I think from a body perspective, he might be the best fit for what we're going to do with that stuff. So
it's really going to be interesting to see in it. I mean, I really have no clue what the running back situation is going to end up being. I mean, at least most years, you know, like we've kind of had two different kinds of years in the past. There's the years where it's obvious who the running backs are going to be, the main one or two. And there's years where there's like three, and we kind of think we know which one is going to emerge, but you have to wait and see. And then this year is like, I don't have any idea. I thought Whitlow was actually bigger. Is he like small like Cam Martin?
He's not huge. Keep going. I'm going to look up how much he weighs.
Well, so anyway, I guess I'm just saying this is like the biggest mystery situation at running back I can remember. I have no idea. I mean, I can't remember the last time we really just had no idea who the main one or two running backs were going to be. I mean, it was probably like 07, maybe, I guess, or was, I guess maybe after it was after Irons left, maybe. But even then we knew that Tate, you know, Ben Tate was around. So it's been a long time since we just really didn't know, you know, who the running back was going to be.
All right. Well, Whitlow is 6'2", 215.
Okay.
So he's roughly the same size as Kerryon Johnson.
Okay. All right.
But we worried about Kerryon Johnson taking the pounding.
You better believe we did. Yeah. When I heard he got hurting in the very first game, I was like, yep. So, offensive line. I mean, we're down two centers. We're down one broad Darius Ham. We've gotten injuries to a couple of the other guys. I mean, where are we at on the offensive line?
I mean, I think where we are is, don't take too much away from the group performance. Because there was no point where the group that's going to actually play in the game was out there playing.
Okay.
So I think that we know we have two guards who played last year who can play. And we know at the tackle spots, we had basically three candidates. We got Prince Tega. We got Calvin Ashley. And
Troxel.
So, I mean, I think it's those three guys. And then at center, we got, you know, Nick Brom was leading the way before he got hurt. I suspect it'll be him. But, you know, between those three guys, I think we can find two guys who can play. I mean, who can play, you know, from the go, and have one, you know, to back up in case something happens. So, I mean, there's talent there. We have depth. We have some talent. I think we'll be okay. I mean, I think the offensive. But going into last season, one of the big strengths of that team was they had the most experience on the offensive line of anybody, and we don't have that this year. So I think it is reasonable to expect the offense to struggle a little bit in the early few games, especially against good defensive lines.
Yeah. And the schedule is not wonderful. I mean, we're going to start out on a neutral field against a top 10 team in Washington.
Yep.
So,
and then we get LSU in week three or whatever. So.
Good sweet Lord. Oh, man.
It's at home.
It could be another one of those starts the season like seems like every year lately. Ugh.
I mean, it could, and Auburn fans are going to freak out because the offense starts slow again. Because the offensive line is getting settled, and maybe we're mixing and matching at running back and that kind of stuff. But I think that this is the other part of that. I think that our defense is going to be really, really, really good, and teams are not going to score a lot on us, and that's going to make it easier on the offense to take its time to get it together.
Let's see. At home against LSU, we in this century, or starting in the 2000s, we won in 2000, we won in 2002, we won in 2004, we won in 2006, we lost in 2008, we won in 2010, we lost in 2012, we won in 14, we won in 16. So we're 7-2 against LSU at home in the 2000s. That's not bad.
No.
It's not bad at all, 7-2. I guarantee you most of the country wouldn't believe that. They'd think it was the other way around. I guarantee you. So what about the bookstore did well in the kicking?
The younger Carlson?
Yes.
Carlson the younger? No, he had a great game. Excellent. I mean, I think he looks really good. He looks as good or better than his brother as a freshman. So punter, still got to see.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't do any live punt returns or anything, but that's still an area in the fall I'm a little nervous about. But kicker, I think we're going to be fine. I mean, he may not be as good from the get-go, but as his brother was as a senior, but we are fine at kicker.
That's 4 years of extra leg muscle and practice added on, so you can't expect him to be. You know, if he is just a really good kicker, that'd be a drop off from his brother, but it would still be awesome, you know, because you got a freshman kicker out there and he's good. So that's what you want, you know. We are just so spoiled at kicker, you know. We talk about this all the time that it's been we see these other teams that can't make a 20-yard field goal to win a ball game or go into overtime, and we haven't had that problem in ages. You know, so we have really been fortunate with our kickers. anything else from A-Day that we need to talk about?
No.
Okay. You asked the question. I did open the thing up while I was fiddling around here. How optimistic or pessimistic do you feel heading into the long off season? Oh, we're going back into the off season. It's like A-Day is like Punxsutawney Phil sticks his nose out of the groundhog hole and sees the goalpost shadow and says, nope, several more months of no football. You know, it's funny. When there was the USFL, he'd come out and go, oh, football. Well, and then he'd kind of take his paw and go, yeah, sort of. But, yeah, no football again throughout the rest of April, May, June, July, August. It's very depressing. But we'll have football coming up again at the end of August, beginning of September. So, let's see. Well, I'll ask you your question then. How optimistic or pessimistic do you feel?
I mean, again, given that there's nothing to take out of A-Day that's influencing my decision in greatly one way or the other, I mean, I feel pretty good. We have a returning defense that's going to be among the top five or six in the country, and we have a returning starting quarterback who's really good and has experience, and a pretty good group of receivers. So, I feel like we got a pretty good kicker. So, you give me that, and we have a tough schedule, sure, but
this feels to me like an 8-4 team. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in the modern SEC. I mean, Pat Dye's teams used to go 8-4 every year when Auburn was one of the top teams in the SEC, you know, and there wasn't any division, and there wasn't any, you know, LSU wasn't a monster every year, and Alabama wasn't a monster at all. And, you know, Georgia was okay. It was mostly Florida and Tennessee that were really good back then. So, this feels to me like an 8-4 team. I feel like if we can find a running back that we can hang our hat on, as they say, it could be a 9-3 team. And if the offensive line can really come together, it can be a 10-2 team. By the way, this is not my prediction or anything. This is just my feeling right now. You know, this is not like the barbecue thing. This is just what level are you seeing our team at right now? Right now, because of all the question marks, because of the uncertainty at so many key positions, this feels like about an 8-4 team at best. But I feel like it has more upside potential than downside potential. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay.
I get that 100%.
So don't send me ugly emails saying, you know, 8-4, how can you say bad things? I'm not saying anything
bad.
Man,
you're a hater.
Why do
you hate Auburn, man?
Exactly. Now, I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that as they've got this many questions, this much uncertainty, and they're still an 8-win team. So, but I mean, to beat Alabama, to beat Georgia, as good as those two teams are, to beat LSU, to beat Washington, to beat whoever else is, you know, Mississippi State's been on the rise. I mean, we're having a tough road to hoe. So, A&M with their new coach. So, I mean, Jimbo. So, we got a tough road to hoe. You know what we don't do this year, though, John?
What?
We don't play Clemson.
Amen.
Wait. We don't play Clemson. Not because I don't want to win or lose with them. I just don't want to play them anymore. I mean, I wish if we'd beaten them every year since 2010, I would still say that. I just don't want to play them anymore.
In any sport.
In any sport, yeah. By the way, I got the soundboard open to you, so you can be excited now.
I'm trying to contain my enthusiasm.
So do you agree with me that right now we're about an 8-win team, or you think I'm off by a game or two either way?
I think we're better than that, but I think you're – way of looking at it makes a lot of sense to me.
Okay. Let me push the button. This is why I went ahead and...
It's time for listener questions! Dun, dun, dun! On the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Promise you a short show tonight, and that's what we're getting. So what do we got from the listeners, if anything?
All right. First question is from Justin Parker, who emailed us at auwishbone@gmail.com.
Okay.
And he says, another A-Day in the books and another great performance by C.J. Tolbert. Guy reminds me of Dyer. Why in the world is this guy not in the rotation? What are your thoughts?
I didn't see him, so you give your thoughts.
I mean, he's solid, but I think he's not nearly as explosive or powerful as Dyer. I think he's more of just a guy. Mm. So, I mean, I like Tolbert. I'm sure he's a wonderful human being, but I do not want to run him into a SEC defense. I don't think he can run away from them consistently, and I don't think he can run over them through them power to get the extra yards. I think that it's going to, again, going to be those other guys. I think it's going to be Cam Martin, Asa Martin, Whitlow, potentially Miller, but mostly those the first three guys.
Miller doesn't seem to be catching on. What's the deal?
I mean, he's a bigger, slower guy. He's not as explosive as them. But otherwise, I'm not sure what it is.
Can we say about Tolbert that maybe he's one of those practice warriors that going up against like the third team defense in practice, he can look really good. But if you put him out there against Georgia's defensive line or Alabama's defensive line, he probably wouldn't do a whole lot.
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
And I think he got his reward by getting to be the spotlight in this game. So
right. Awesome. Good for him.
And a similar question Neil Page asked, for the first time in a long time, I'm really worried about our running back situation. Should I be?
I mean, until, like I say, this is the most uncertainty I can remember in this current era. I have to go back a long way. I mean, honestly, I got to go back to Tommy Tuberville's first year. When we didn't have anybody at running back. I mean, Tuberville had to go out and get Rudy Johnson for the second year.
Yes.
We had a backup receiver playing running back in 1999.
Was it Clifton Robinson?
Yes. Woo. I got a fan of my guy. Woo boy, look at John. Look at the big brain on John.
Listen, there's a lot of useless knowledge trickling out of here.
Well, when you said it, I recognized it, but I couldn't have pulled that one out of my hat. I can't remember names from this year's team, much less 17, 18 years ago. But I think it's justified to be concerned, but I think that given the track record that this staff has had, they'll figure something out. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt until they prove me wrong.
So I'm saying, I think there's a lot of highly recruited raw materials there. And we know that we have good coaches who, developed running backs over the last several years. And the offense is kind of running back friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, like, I think we'll be good enough.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, will we have a 1,000-yard rusher this year?
I would bet against that, but
wow,
I would. But we thought we wouldn't last year because we thought they would share time. So
that's right.
And regardless of the depth chart or whatever, Gus seems to lock onto one guy at some point. So
he does. That's true.
All right. Next question is from Auburn Elvis.
All right.
What are the odds that if receiving will be to the football team what free throws were to the basketball team?
Ooh.
And by that he means like a historical weakness that suddenly becomes a strength, I think.
Yeah, that's how I was trying to parse that one out, and I thought that's kind of where he was going, but I wanted to make sure. So I honestly think it may have to be. I mean, think again, 1999 when we had no running backs, where did the offense come from? It was Ben Leard to Ronnie Daniels.
Yes.
So I don't know that we have a Ronnie Daniels on this receiving core, but we've got several decent college receivers. I honestly think Nate Craig Myers could be a star if he could just get enough work. And get the ball consistently. But
I thought the receivers were pretty good last year, and I think, you know, they and Stidham can be better, and I think the receivers in particular can be better. I think Slayton had a very rough start to the year last year. I think he could come out and play at a much higher level from the go this year. And we know Ryan Davis is solid, you know, a good short yards receiver, dependable. So, no, I think we got the pieces there. I think it's a good comparison because we've had years where the receiving really let us down, literally and figuratively. And this year there could be a thing where maybe the receivers kind of step up and lead the offense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think – I hate that that's the situation we may be in, but I think that's true.
I didn't think it's a terrible thing.
I'd rather just be able to lean on a 1,500-yard pack.
I know. I hear you. Last question is from James Taylor, who says, hey, fellas, I haven't had a chance to see the game yet, but I'm pretty positive it was pretty hard to do anything offensively with two centers down. Can you answer some questions about how good of quality are Kim and Brahms at center position? And how are Troxel and Ashley doing at the right tackle position? We heard a lot about Troxel through the spring, but one of my coaching friends is not very high on him.
Really?
And that's what he said. So he said, thanks, at War Eagle. I think what I've heard about Kim and Brahms is, you know, I think Brahms has a higher ceiling. Kim is, you know, I think they feel like he can play it. He's kind of steady, but I think they feel like Brahms has a much higher ceiling in terms of his potential. So I think they like the idea of him there, but I think they would be okay with Kim playing center. I think Ashley, I suspect Ashley's going to end up being the right tackle over Troxel, but we'll see. I mean, I think Prince Tag is going to be the left tackle. I think that's how it's going to happen. You still there? Yeah. I think, Troxel had, there was a lot of talk about Troxel in the spring. And I think, you know, if you're playing tackle for this offense, that means on a daily basis, think about the defensive line you're going up against.
Absolutely.
So if he was doing well against those guys, against the Nick Coes of the world and those kind of people, then I think there's a certain point where you go, maybe he can handle it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope they can get it sorted out, and I hope everybody can get healthy, because that's just the last place you want continued nagging uncertainty and injury both. That's just not a good combination.
No, yeah. we need to get the starting, you know, if they want to tinker around with lineups and stuff, I get that. But we need to get to, like, starting the best five or six guys and have them play together a lot, you know, through the fall with Stidham and the running backs and stuff to get the consistency where we want it.
Exactly. We got to thank our patrons right quick, and then we'll do our quick around the SEC and wrap things up. But I always have to make sure we thank our patrons, and we have a couple of new ones actually this week. Let me go back here for one second and thank, as always, Nicholas Cottrell, Joseph Fine, Christopher Burleson, and Samuel Salvatore. You guys are awesome, and you keep the AU wishbone clicking right along and the triple option. Then Phil Amthor of WeHaveDonuts.com, Steve Trawick, Richard Stevens, Justin Bean, Chris Usher. And then we have our crowd of David Evers, Tom Anderson, Timothy, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Steve Harlan, Andrew Barber, Jared Albrick, Rich Reimer, Bill Matthews, Will Summerford, John McCune, Catherine England, and Ann Congian. And then we also have a group that's led by David Simpson, Josh Teal, Mike Finley, Randall Walker, C.T. Wayne, Earl Ricks, Dave Powell, Michael Kirshner, Mick Vigicana, Matt Robenheimer, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, George Gaston, Tony Perry, Alex Nguyen. And then we have Clay Henson, J.W. Rice, Ward Amwade, Dave Medinas, Mark Squire, Joey Miller, Matthew Wagstaff, Russell Milling, Rob Morgan, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Brant Rumble, and Nicholas Craig, and our one-time and anonymous donors. And also, we have our new people, which includes Ruth and Darren Sutherland, and Patrick Williams, longtime friend on Twitter. So I'll get them added on to the sheet and into all the hijinks coming up soon as well. Let me see. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Do we? Oh, yes. Hold on. Let me push the button because we have to take a trip.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
So what's happening around the SEC? Now, Arkansas and Ole Miss had their spring games, correct?
Yeah, bad weather for both. Cold, yucky, rainy, small attendance. In some struggles with some of those. You know, new coaching staff at Arkansas completely. So there'd been a complete turnover of the offense there, especially. And so some struggles, but I like the coach, the guy they hired from SMU in the long run, but I think in the short term it could be some real problems. And then again, in Ole Miss, they went with Luke, but still they have the quarterback, the Shea Patterson transferred away, waiting to see if he qualifies immediately at Michigan. But the guy that played last year in his place, the Hawaiian guy, is going to be the starter, and he looks pretty good. I mean, he looked pretty good in the games he played last year that I saw him in. So they're going to be pretty good offensively. I think their defense is going to be a wet paper sack. But and then we got the other teams in the West. I mean, Mississippi State and A&M. Mississippi State, that they have a quarterback. You're not sure what else they have, and A&M, they got two quarterbacks, but do either one of them fit in the kind of stuff that Jimbo likes to run traditionally? Not really. So it's kind of a square peg round hole there. I think it really is.
Yeah, that was odd.
So we'll see. And then of course we have LSU, who's gone to Ensminger at offensive coordinator. So that Auburn fans have some experience with that. We'll see how that goes for him. I think there's been the other thing that's going on, of course, is the quarterback controversy at Alabama. They're trying to tamp it down and keep it down, but I think there's a lot of debate about Tua and Jalen Hurts and all that. And what they're trying to do is play it close to the vest and keep the competition going, so Hurts doesn't leave, because that would put them in a bad spot. I mean, I think the worst case. But this is one of these things where I just want to fan the flames and hopefully it goes very badly for them. what are the scenarios here? They play Hurts, they're losing or he's throwing the ball poorly and the fans are all chanting for Tua, right?
Right.
They pick Tua and Hurts transfers away, and then Tua gets hurt.
Yeah. Oh man.
So I mean, or they have a little bit of a divided locker room kind of thing. So I think this is still out there. I mean, it blew up in Urban Meyer's face the year after they won the national title, and had their quarterbacks back. So I think it's out there, and so my hope for the off season and going into fall camp is that this is raging quarterback controversy. We could all just put marshmallows on sticks and hold it over the fire and enjoy it. So
there you go. I like it. All right. I think because I just accidentally closed out the outline anyway.
Go ahead. One other thing I want to say is that. I've listened to a lot of podcasts while I was driving back and forth, and I did go back and listen to the Chris B. Brown did an interview on Solid Verbal about a month ago, and I hadn't ever had a chance to listen to it. I finally did, and one of the things he talked about on there was the signaling systems that different teams use. And then several times during there, he talked about Malzahn, Some of it was very interesting. The most interesting thing to me was that he said a lot of times the posters they hold up actually don't mean anything about the play other than this is the guy on the sideline who's actually giving you the real signal on this play.
I like that. So look at that and look at something else. Well, you remember the thing that Gus did before we played Oregon was he had the little numbers and colors on a flip chart. Mm-hmm. And then after we played Oregon, he totally switched over to the big panels with the four pictures on them. So, yeah, I've always wondered what the deal was there, and I've never been smart enough to figure it out, even when somebody explains it to me. So I guess helps.
One of the things that he said is that the Gus and the offense coordinator have the plays, and then they let the players help develop the signals or what their words are going to call them and stuff, because it helps the players remember them.
Right.
So if the players want to call it the cookie or whatever, they call it a cookie. Mm. But the other part is like that Gus, the other thing he said that, you know, made a lot of sense, especially in light of our discussions today, is that Gus is really, really paranoid, and that they will have, you know, many people doing signals and holding posters and stuff. And sometimes it's, you know, a lot of them are fake because he's trying, and they have, and different plays, it might be a different guy who's the real person. They might go back and forth and back and forth or whatever. So it really is a thing of where they're trying to keep the other teams off balance and not let them read the signals and stuff.
It's really interesting. I'd love to be behind the scenes and know the real full deal on it, but I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Nope.
All right. I'll say this as a network note, by the way. I posted our Ready Player One movie review that you and I did, and it's done pretty well. But I also went back and reposted our book review that we did of Ready Player One a couple of years ago, and it's got almost 500 downloads now. So people seem even more interested in the book review than in the movie review. So I thought that was interesting. It's been burning it up. Yeah, it's very popular. So yeah, we just saw it for the third time. We saw it. You saw it last weekend, right? So have you guys gone to see it again? Are you going to see it again, or did you like it enough to see it again?
I mean, I liked it enough to see it again, but I there's not a lot of movies that I see twice in a theater anymore. So
I'm the same way. I'm the same way. I'm absolutely the same way. So that's pretty special.
That's special.
So, all right. Well, let's wrap it up for tonight. Then I'm going to click this thing closed, and remember, we're doing this live tonight. We're not doing any post production, which means that even as we talk, I have to do this right here. There we go. All right, John. Well, I think that'll wrap us up for another one. We'll be back in, what, a couple of weeks?
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com.
War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
And via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone. And follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle. So what becomes of you?
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Go to bed.
Go to bed.